Welcome to episode 62 of the Listening Brain Podcast. Welcome to the Listening Brain. I'm your host, Todd Houston. In this podcast, we explore childhood hearing loss through the lives of the parents and families who are on this journey and the professionals who serve them. It's my pleasure to welcome Carly Sigrove to the podcast. Carly is a hearing loss coach and a hearing health writer who has single-sided deafness. She writes about living with hearing loss at My Hearing Loss Story and manages an online support group for people with hearing loss. She is also the founder of the Sudden Hearing Loss Support website, a source of information and support for people affected by sudden hearing loss. In her previous career, Carly worked for 14 years as an early years teacher in various countries, including the United Kingdom, China, Thailand, and Spain, where she currently lives with her partner, Stuart. Outside of hearing health advocacy, Carly enjoys yoga, baking, and walking in the Spanish countryside. Sounds wonderful. Welcome, Carly, to the podcast. Carly, welcome to the podcast. Can you share more about your background?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Hi, Todd. It's great to be here today on the Listening Brain podcast. A little bit about myself. I'm Carly. I'm a hearing loss coach and a hearing health advocate, and I'm also a writer and an ex-teacher. A little bit about myself. So I'll tell you a little bit about my hearing loss to start with. So my hearing loss was about 7 years ago now, and I had something called sudden sensory neural hearing loss, and this was in my left ear. Okay, so this hearing loss, I'm going to just say quickly, if you ever do experience a hearing loss suddenly, or if you think that there's something wrong with your ear all of a sudden, it's really important to go to a doctor, a physician, somebody who can take an audiogram and just check everything's okay and give you treatment if necessary. Just as an aside. Anyway, so I had sudden sensory neural hearing loss, and that left me profoundly deaf in my left ear.
And was there a cause ever identified for that?
There's been a few theories thrown around. Mm-hmm. So since my hearing loss, I've also experienced balance issues, so vestibular issues, including I have a diagnosis of Meniere's disease, and I also have vestibular migraines. So some people, so some ENTs that I've seen, think that possibly in my now deaf ear, I had Meniere's disease in this ear. And there was a huge amount of pressure from the buildup of liquid, and instead of killing off the hearing gradually, which can occur with standard typical Meniere's, they feel that perhaps it was just a one event that basically eradicated all of my hearing. That's just one theory. Some people say, not sure about that. I do look back on the time before my hearing loss, and I think there were a few warning signs, because I did have vertigo on a few occasions. I had drop vertigo attacks where I actually fell to the floor. And when I saw a doctor about them, they took blood tests and said, oh, your blood's fine. You know, you're probably tired. You're probably stressed, this kind of thing. It did happen a few times over the course of many years, maybe 15 years, a long time. And I did used to get a bit dizzy sometimes. I did often feel very, very tired. I had tinnitus for 3 years at one point, and then it went away. I have it now constantly, but this was like for three isolated 3 years. So there were these warning signs, but doctors never, they never actually talked about my ears. My hearing was always fine. To be honest, my hearing was amazing. Working as a teacher, like I could hear those children wherever they were, you know, I could spot where they were. I knew where they were. I knew what they were doing. And, you know, my audiograms, we used to have regular hearing tests with the schools that I worked in. They were always perfect. You know, I never had an ear infection. I never had anything wrong with my ears. So actually having sudden hearing loss, so losing all of the hearing in one go, in one instant, was a huge shock, because I'd never considered my hearing or my ears or really given them much thought.
Right. Most people just take it for granted and that it's going to be there. And that, in reading some of what you've written about that experience, you mentioned that you had a friend or a colleague talk about the grieving of the hearing loss itself. Would you mind just chatting about how that happened and how what that meant to you?
I speak quite a lot about hearing loss grief, because it's something that when I was going through it, I didn't realize that what it was. I don't even know if this it's actual term, hearing loss grief. It's something that I put the words to. I gave the term in one of my blog posts. I started thinking about it when I connected with somebody online. Now, I'm sure we'll speak about my blog at some point and talk about that. But I've connected with a lot of people online over the past 7 years. And I connected with somebody probably, I'm not even sure when, maybe a year following my hearing loss. And that person, just in the middle of the conversation, just said something like, you know, make sure you have that time to grieve. We need to grieve our hearing just like we would any loss in life. And that was something that was like, wow. And it just kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I thought, yes, that's what I've been doing. You know, I've been going through these stages. I've experienced parts of the grief cycle. You know, some of the stages I was incredibly sad. I was, you know, it took me time to kind of get over that sadness and work through. I was bargaining. You know, I was like, oh, maybe if I do this, it'll come back. Or maybe if I try this therapy, it'll come back. And, you know, I clearly see some of those stages of grief. And then it did take time to reach acceptance, which is, you know, like the end stage, I guess you could say. But I think with that acceptance is always with any kind of grief, you know, it'll still pop its head up every now and again. Like, you know, like when you remember a loved one, you still occasionally will think of them, or, you know, at the most random of times sometimes as well. And it's the same with hearing loss. Most of the time, unless I'm speaking about it like now, it's just part of my life. You know, it's just who I am. It's part of my life now. But then occasionally, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, something sparks a memory of being in a music festival or something like that. And it's like, oh, that was amazing. Oh yeah, I loved it. And then that thought of, oh, actually, you know, it wouldn't be the same anymore. And, you know, these feelings will sometimes mean that grief does pop up every now and again. But I always speak to people about kind of acknowledging this grief, because it's such an important part of moving forward, accepting your hearing loss, and then actually figuring out, oh, how to live with hearing loss. Because until you completely accepted it and are ready, it can then take time to then figure out the best way for you to live with it.
Right. And I've always kind of heard that it's this ongoing adaptation, because you could go into a restaurant, it's very noisy. It's like suddenly you have to adapt to that environment, or some other, you know, situation you find yourself and okay, how am I going to handle this situation? So it's always sort of adapting to these things.
Exactly. Always learning something, always adapting. Always trying new things, you know. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And so in the beginning, you had a hearing aid, correct? And then you eventually got a cochlear implant. And so if you don't mind, chat about how that happened and how's it going with the implant?
Okay. So I haven't got a cochlear implant yet.
Yet. Okay.
So we'll get to it. So sure. I tried a cross hearing aid. Mm-hmm. So the cross hearing aid, you basically takes the sound from the deaf side and then via Bluetooth funnels it, sends it over to the hearing side. Mm-hmm. Now, with this type of hearing aid, firstly, I want to say some people do have success with this type of hearing aid. Mm-hmm. I didn't. And I've written about this as well, and I've written about my experience with it. Unfortunately for me, I found that my hearing ear was actually overwhelmed with noise. Mm. There's an instance that I remember really clearly, and it was in Madrid, where I used to live, and there was a underground metro train, and I used to take the metro train daily. And somebody came up to me and my partner and came to speak to us to ask us a question. And at that same time, the train pulled into the stop. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge noise, like it's so noisy, is that there's the train when it pulls in. And the whole, when this poor person was speaking to me, I was watching his lips, they were moving. All I could hear was this train. And I actually took the hearing aid out, and I could hear him much better without it. And, you know, I kind of thought at that point, perhaps this isn't the best solution for me. This isn't the best intervention. Mm-hmm. I tried it in all sorts of situations. I was lucky enough to try it for 3 months, but found that the only place it could really possibly be helpful was probably at home, where it was really quiet and wasn't going to pick up lots of other noise. And actually at home, I didn't need it because we lived in a small apartment. Generally, I knew where my partner was, who I lived with at the time. So I'd be like, okay, he's either I could see him because the apartment was small, or he's in one of the other two rooms. It wasn't far to go. So I didn't really need it in this situation. So for me, the cross hearing aid wasn't the best solution. So the cochlear implants. I've done my research, Todd. I've researched for years, following research on single-sided deafness and cochlear implants, and they are also connecting with people as well, like in different countries. And all I can see for myself is a positive, because I have zero functioning hearing in the left ear, so no helpful hearing. So whatever happens, you know, either it's going to work for me or it isn't. So either way, I've tried something. But for the cochlear implant, I live in Spain, and it's recently become an option on the public healthcare system to have it for single-sided deafness. Now, they've been doing this. Yeah, it is great. And I know they've been doing this in places like Germany for a long time with successful results. In the beginning, I think in Germany, it was to help people with tinnitus. And I also have tinnitus as well. So they actually found that it can help also with hearing loss as well as the tinnitus. So bonus.
Right. Imagine that.
I know, bonus. So I'm really keen to, you know, to have the implant. I'm on a waiting list currently. So last May, I was put on the waiting list and was told it could be about a year. So we're getting closer to May of this year. So I'm hoping in the next few months, I'll have the surgery and then lots of rehabilitation. I'm going to do my work, I'm going to work hard and try and get the best out of this as I can. And, you know, I think when people hear, you know, that you have hearing in one ear, there is that question, you know, well, you can still hear, can't you? Well, you know, do you need this? Mm-hmm. I have been asked that. And I just turn around and be like, yes, I do. And the reason, there's so many reasons, you know, single-sided deafness, it kind of makes you vulnerable. You can lose confidence with it. And the vulnerability and the loss of confidence, particularly in places with background noise, like where you could socialize, for example, in bars and restaurants, I can sit in a group of people and not hear anything.
Right.
And with that comes isolation. Mm-hmm. And there's, I'm sure the studies with social isolation, loneliness, depression, and all of this, you know, this and the connection now that they found with cognitive decline and dementia. Now, all of this, again, is a reason to have some kind of try at getting some input into my deaf ear. But, you know, not only that isolation that comes in social interactions, there's that feeling of safety. So imagine going outside, going to cross the street, and then checking to one side, looking to one side, looking to the other, and then you start walking, but then you're like, you can't trust the hearing on one side, so you're like constantly scanning that side, like, is there anything coming? Or you're walking in the city and you hear a big bang, you hear a noise, it's probably construction or something, but you don't know, because you don't know where it's coming from, because with single-sided deafness, you can't identify where the sound is coming from. So you don't know which way to move out of the way or to turn. So there's lots of things that people just don't know about, I guess, or don't even consider when you lose hearing in that ear. And I think the main thing is just, I think, I don't know if it's just for me or for other people, but there's almost that feeling of like a bit being a bit like I'm missing something. And of course I've got that feeling, you know, that feeling of like, it's hard to put words to that feeling of it's a loss, I suppose. And if there's a chance of getting it back, why not? And I'm actually, even if I can't get, even if it's not great results for me, that feeling of sound in my deaf ear, I know it can be, it's going to be annoying at the beginning, but actually I can't wait. I want that, you know, I want that annoying noise in that ear. I want some kind of sensation of hearing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. I hope it goes well. And based on my experience working with adults, I think you're going to do great. But everyone has their own experience, but I think you're going to do wonderful, and it's going to be a great, great step for you. And I only expect great outcomes for you.
Thank you.
You know, it used to be that among a lot of professionals, whether they're ENTs or audiologists or others working in the field, you know, the mindset was if you had one good ear, you were fine. And, you know, it's really been, I would say, the past 20 years or so that we really have said, you know, no, people that have single-sided deafness really need hearing technology, and they need to be candidates for implants, which, you know, is still a relatively recent development, especially here in the States, for that. It's, you know, we used to also say that if you had a minimal hearing loss or a mild hearing loss, oh, you probably don't need anything. Well, now we know that any degree of hearing loss will have an impact, and we have to manage the impact, and help those individuals going through that to manage the impact. And even just, you know, you mentioned the results that we're seeing with isolation and cognitive decline and all that, and there's so much now on listening fatigue, for example, things that we never really thought about until the past few years. And so we're having to, you know, so even when we think we've solved all these problems, we have this amazing technology, we're still learning how hearing loss can affect us. And we have to do, I think we have to continue to educate some of the professionals that are out there who, oh, you have one good ear, you should be fine. Who still say these untrue and just professionals that should know better don't always know better. I think it's very good what you're doing to make sure people understand what their options are and to make sure they find the solution that works best for them.
Exactly. Because not one solution is right for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying about those professionals who used to or might still say, oh, you're fine, one ear. I mean, tell them to wear an earplug all day and see how they feel. You know, very tell them to or wear an earplug and play tinnitus constantly 24/7 in an ear and see how they feel. Maybe spin them around a few times, give them some vestibular, you know, right. just to deal with, because it's not easy and it's difficult. And, you know, I think as well, when we're talking about treating the hearing loss, it's not just for the person with it either. Mm-hmm. It's for the loved ones of that person, for the colleagues, for the people closest to that person, because right. it affects relationships as hearing loss. And that when it affects relationships, it affects our connections, it affects our ability to work well. So our employers, you know, are affected. Our loved ones, you know, you can't have those silly little jokes you might have, you know, the when right. throwing little comments or whispering a loved one's ear. These things are part of, you know, connection. And hearing loss doesn't just affect the person with it, it affects everyone mm-hmm. around them. So when you're talking about helping people or intervening or treating hearing loss with hearing aids or implants, that's for everybody around that person as well. It's not just for the person with it. So, you know, you're helping a lot of people in one.
I've always thought that, you know, any type of hearing loss affects everyone in the family, everyone in that person's life. It's going to have an impact.
Exactly.
So with saying that, you have done something that's truly unique, I think, and you've become a hearing loss coach. Mm-hmm. Talk about that process, and then how can people take advantage of that, and what would you work on, so to speak, with those individuals?
Yeah. Okay. So I was actually working as a teacher when I had my hearing loss. So I'd been a teacher for 14 years. And I taught in different countries, and I taught 3 and 4 year olds. So I was used to being in this caring profession, mm-hmm. which I loved. You know, everyone, if you can be a teacher, if you want to be a teacher, go and be a teacher. You know, it comes with difficulties, but I loved being a teacher. With my hearing loss, like I explained, I had some vestibular issues as well, and I still have them. So what I found was being in a teaching environment meant that a lot of the triggers, the things that made me feel dizzy, made me feel, gave me vertigo sometimes, maybe gave me more tinnitus, all these things were in the teaching environment. So, for example, you go in somebody's classroom and you've got pictures hanging from the ceiling everywhere. You've got children like running around your feet. You've right. got visual stimuli everywhere, because this is what an early years classroom's like. They've got things everywhere. you go down to an assembly and the music was too loud for, you know, I have also have some sensitivity of noise, but of hyperacusis. And mm-hmm. again, I couldn't go into the assembly. I struggled in we had like a lunchroom that was used not just for lunches. It was also used for taking PE, so physical education. Mm-hmm. So at lunchtime, the clattering of all the pots and pans and the children was awful. Mm-hmm. And then, then I'd have to go in there and teach PE to teach physical mm-hmm. education. And again, it was so there was all these things. But for me, I could have been a teacher with hearing loss, but I struggled to be a teacher with vestibular disorders. Right. So because of the balance issues, I was worried about my own safety and the safety of the children. So eventually I tried for a few years actually in the profession, continued, but eventually I ended up leaving. And at that point, I didn't really know what to do. Now, this is kind of connected to my coaching in two ways, because I didn't really know what to do, and I was a bit stuck, and I thought, okay, well, I'm enjoying writing, so I started to do a bit of writing work, which I continue to do to this day. I do enjoy writing, but that wasn't going to be everything for me. I wanted something else, and I was making all these connections with people, so I'm going to try and think about the two parts of this so I can explain it well. So I was making, there's two parts to this. I was making all these connections, and one of the people that I connected with, she'd had sudden hearing loss, and she was also a psychotherapist. And she was in my hearing loss group. I have a Facebook online, and she was in that group and interacting, you know, with the other group members. And she'd also sent me a few private messages. And one day she messaged saying, I hear you're looking for a new career change. I'm just wondering if you thought about something like counseling or coaching, because, you know, you've been in a caring profession, and what you're doing in the Facebook group, you know, is helping people as well. And it feels like this could be a good direction for you. And I had thought about this, but hearing it from somebody else was actually kind of gave me a little push. I thought, okay, I'll look into it. And I did. I looked into it. And I looked into counselling and I looked into coaching. Now, counselling and other types of therapy often focus on the past and often focus on maybe diagnosis, more clinical.
Right.
And coaching is forward facing. So coaching is looking forward, thinking, where do I want to go next? What do I want to do? And how am I going to get there? And this is exactly what the people I'd been connecting with and myself at that time even was thinking. So I had this question, I had this goal, I wanted to do something new. It's like, how are you going to get there? So I saw coaching as a way for people in their hearing loss journey to decide for themselves where they want to go next and how they want to live their life with hearing loss, and having a way to figure that out. So having somebody to speak to about how they're going to do it. Now, the reason there's two parts to this is because I think there's the part of me deciding to be a coach, but then there's that reason as well, because I was actually in the situation. I was in the situation of I had hearing loss. I've been told they can't, at this point, there was nothing else they could do. I'd tried a cross hearing aid. At this point in time, there was nothing else they could offer me. And then I was just, in a way, left to get on with it. So I tried going back to my old job. It didn't work anymore. You know, it wasn't right. It didn't fit. I didn't fit. It didn't fit. So I was also at this point of, oh, I'd been through this myself of trying to figure out, what do I do next? What can I do? And how do I speak to my partner about my hearing loss? How do I talk to my family about it? How do I become my own advocate? How do I explain my needs to people in public? How do I change my career with hearing loss? How do I just move forward positively with it? So this was my route into coaching. It was a bit of a revelation, if I'm honest. It was like, this is it. It was a this is it moment. And so what I did was I took a course in coaching, in transformational coaching. And transformational coaching, it focuses on people's beliefs and it focuses on their values and their purpose. It can help you bring about any change that you want or goals, so positive changes. And it can also help you like look at your limitations or the things that you think are your limitations and challenge them. Now, I think that's where hearing loss came in quite a lot for me when I kind of learned about transformational coaching, because when I lost my hearing, I did think at the time, I'm limited now. You know, I have this disability. I don't see you like this anymore, but I did at the time. I felt I have this disability. How am I going to live my life? How can I be successful with this? And transformational coaching can actually challenge that and say, right, okay, you've lost this. What have you gained? Or you've lost this. How are you stronger? What can you do? Focus on what you can do rather than what you cannot do. And you soon start to realize there's so many things you can still do. It's just part of your life. It's part of who you are. So yeah, that's what I did. I trained in transformational coaching. So I did a course that's recognized by the International Coaching Federation, amongst others. So it's a proper course. And then I've taken my skills from my interactions with people through my hearing loss community. So the Facebook support group, my blog, I have a website for people with sudden hearing loss. So taken all my skills of helping people over the last 7 years and actually made them more formal through doing this. And now I support people with lots of things. So things like, one of the big things with hearing loss coaching has been working on confidence. So I know myself as well, when I first lost my hearing, I lost my confidence, because it just feels like you've lost a part of yourself. And with that went a bit of my confidence. So I wasn't sure how to interact in certain situations anymore without having that full sound, without having full hearing. And that is a big one. So kind of looking at confidence, ways of overcoming that. And we do this through a series of questioning, through reflection, giving the person time to think. So giving clients that space to actually talk about the hearing loss, to actually think about it and be listened to. A big part of coaching is having empathy. And I think I understand what they're going through. And just speaking to somebody who understands, I find can be really helpful. I actually look back and wish I'd had somebody at the time. My partner was amazing, but he didn't completely understand. And I think having somebody who gets it can be really helpful. I also help people speak to their friends and family and colleagues and kind of figure out the best way for them to do it. Not everyone's the same. Sure. Something that works for one person might not work for another. So it's my job to help the person understand what's best for them. How to be their own advocate, so navigating social situations, just everyday situations, maybe in a supermarket, asking for somebody to repeat themselves. This doesn't come natural to some people. Some people need that, somebody to talk to about how they're going to tackle these things. I do help people with sudden hearing loss. Many people have reached out because of my blog. That they've had sudden hearing loss and needed somebody to help them navigate their journey with that. So looking at treatment options, talking about their successes and failures and things like that. I think that's quite a few.
So it's sort of responding to the diagnosis, helping people to respond to the diagnosis. And to live with hearing loss and how it's going to impact them and how it is impacting them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes the goals that people come to me with aren't always directly related to their hearing loss. So for example, talking about career changes, there's a guy I recently supported, and he was in a job and he just wanted to change. But he'd never gone for an interview. He'd never applied for a job since his hearing loss. So he wasn't sure how to actually go about this. And he had a few doubts. And again, it's overcoming those feelings of low confidence again, and kind of being that advocate, knowing when to mention your hearing loss and how to do it. And tackling all these little questions that come with applying for a job, because at the best of times it's not easy, you know. And this person had never done it with hearing loss, so yeah, it actually helped him through that as well, which is that was really interesting actually.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful, the whole career counseling, because as you were talking about earlier about losing your confidence and not fitting in that job anymore as a teacher. You know, you can see where someone who's dealing with that sudden hearing loss now thinking, well, what am I going to do? You know, I have to support my family. I have to pay bills. You know, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I've got to have an income. What am I going to do? And then that not knowing how to navigate through those situations is contributes to all the things we talked about, that isolation and other issues that can come from that. So I really applaud what you're doing and how you're sort of embracing the hearing loss. And what I love about what you've shared with us today is that you had this hearing loss, but it didn't stop you. Yes, you did experience some emotions, you know, you'd been dealing with it, but you now are seeing how it's maybe set you on a different path. And it may be that you find this even more fulfilling as a than you did as a teacher, you know. And I think that's an important lesson for people, is that in the beginning, when you're experiencing something, you may not know what's on the other side of it. It could be setting you on a path that you might actually enjoy or want, or something that you can build on.
Completely agree. I think I've got my hearing loss to thank for a few things. I'm definitely more compassionate. Not that I wasn't before, but I'm definitely more understanding of people's differences now and people's struggles, and especially invisible ones, you know.
Sure.
Really aware of treating people with kindness all the time. And, you know, I also have my hearing loss to thank for things like writing. I would never have sat down and written a blog. I didn't have the time as a teacher, to be fair, but right. I would never have taken that time to actually write a blog. And for me, writing the blog was cathartic, and it still is. Like, putting all my thoughts on paper, well, on the screen, is so helpful. And it's like emptying my brain of everything that's been happening and putting it out there. Yet at the same time, somebody on the other side of the screen is reading this and thinking, oh, I'm going through this too. And it's helping other people. So it's got these, you know, it became much more than I ever thought. So my hearing loss has given me, I think, more compassion, more awareness of people's struggles, and so many connections with people. The amount of people I've connected with because of my hearing loss is tremendous. And I love being part of this community. It's an amazing community. My support group, my online support group, is brilliant. It's such a compassionate space. People are helping each other. They're asking each other questions, sharing stories, offering advice. And it's just I think everyone in that group is just amazing, you know, that everyone makes that group, and it's just such a supportive environment. But yeah, the hearing loss community is it's a great community. So I'm really proud and happy to be part of it.
Well, wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you talking to me today. And how can people reach out to you? You mentioned your website, Facebook, everything. So throw that out there, and we'll hopefully get more people in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you. Let me think. Okay. So my coaching website is carlysygrove.com. I'm seeing the captions to see if it's got it right. Yeah. If you Google, it will come up. My blog is called My Hearing Loss Story. That's my blog. And my Facebook support group is also called My Hearing Loss Story. And it's a private group, so you need to sign in to get into it. And nobody else will be able to see your comments unless they're in the group. And I do also have the Sudden Hearing Loss Support website, which is information and support for anyone going through sudden hearing loss. And all the information on that website has either been checked or written by a specialist. And on there are links to various organizations, various articles, helpful research, this kind of thing. So these are the different resources that I provide.
Wonderful. Well, Carly, you'll have to come back and give me an update in a while, in a year or so. I'd love to have you back, and hopefully we'll continue our conversation about what you're doing.
I'd love to. I can tell you all about the cochlear implant.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you again.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me today. It's been great to meet you.
I want to thank Carly for joining me on the podcast and learning more about her background and her role as a hearing loss coach, which when I met her and found out what she did, I was just fascinated about this idea of a hearing loss coach. And so I really hope that more people will follow in her footsteps and be there to coach other individuals who may have hearing loss. I think it's a great idea, and I appreciate Carly sharing her story. And I also appreciate you listening to this podcast. If you don't mind, leave us a 5-star review. That always helps, as you know. And if you leave that review, talk to us about what you like about the podcast. We'd love to hear from you and look for ways to improve it. Or maybe you would like to be a guest on the podcast, or you have someone in mind that you can recommend. Whatever the case may be, leave the review, send me an email at Todd, T-O-D-D, at 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com. And I'd love to take your recommendations and try to get more people on the podcast for some great interviews. And so until next time in 2 weeks, be safe and be kind. This has been a production of the 3C Digital Media Network.